Hi, everyone. Thank you to the Aging Public Health Section for having this presentation. And I've learned a lot so far, and it's great to be here. So I'm going to be doing a real quick overview of some work we've been doing for the past 4 years, looking at cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's disease, other dementias, and also just moderate and severe cognitive impairment, and looking at the impact it has on co-occurring chronic conditions. And I'll be here for questions and also be happy to connect you to some folks who do some of the work we've been talking about. I've got no relationships to disclose. So first, some acknowledgments. We've had an incredible team from around the country doing this work. This work is funded through special interest projects at the CDC that funds work through My Prevention Research Center in Seattle. And then the co-PIs on this work were Dr. Mark Snowden, who's a geriatric psychiatrist in Seattle, and Annette Fitzpatrick, who's an epidemiologist. We also have on our team folks from nursing, statistician, and master's and doctoral students as well. We also were advised throughout our work by expert panels or advisory committees with people from around the country doing health services research, epidemiology, healthcare, people who provide care, clinical care to older adults with multiple chronic conditions. And we also, in our second project, the last project on the public health research agenda, we engaged some folks who work in practice and policy as well as state public health departments. So for this work, we really are thinking of dementia as a syndrome in which there's a decline in memory or other thinking skills known as cognitive impairment, and the ability to perform everyday activities. So dementia is caused by diseases and injuries that primarily or secondarily affect the brain. So you know of Alzheimer's, also stroke. We didn't just limit this to Alzheimer's disease or dementia. We also were looking at moderate or severe levels of cognitive impairment as indicated by validated measures such as the MMSE. And so here, a definition that's commonly used for cognitive impairment is confusion or memory loss that's happening more often or is getting worse during the past year or more, so a change. In terms of chronic conditions, we use a kind of a commonly used definition here that for conditions that last a year or more and require ongoing medical attention and or limit activities of daily living. When you think of multiple chronic conditions, you're really thinking of conditions that collectively impact health status, function, and or quality of life, and really require more complex healthcare management, decision-making, or coordination. We also included in our model, with guidance from our panel, geriatric syndrome. So these are common conditions that really don't fit into the discrete disease categories. You may know falls, incontinence, frailty, and also taking multiple medications. So what's some of the context from our work? We know that 1 in 5 older adults will develop Alzheimer's. We also know that 1 in 4 have multiple chronic conditions. For both Alzheimer's, dementia, significant cognitive impairment, and multiple chronic conditions, the risk increases with age, and it has a huge impact on people's lives, quality of life, function, health service utilization, mortality. There's also a real impact on people's community, their caregivers and their families. And traditionally, these conditions were thought of separately. So this work was really funded as part of the multiple chronic conditions frameworks. We're trying to think more about how we could think of people more holistically. So this is some recent data from Medicare. You can see Alzheimer's disease kind of there in the middle. And you can see how very few people just have only Alzheimer's disease. It's pretty shocking that more than half of the folks with Alzheimer's disease have 5 or more other conditions that they're experiencing. This is some recent data that we got from the Chronic Condition Warehouse, where you can see some of these conditions that people have. And it's really quite striking. On the right, you see beneficiaries who are 65 years and older, and 3/4 have hypertension. There's a lot of other cardiovascular disease listed there. And mental health is there, too. Depression, about 1/3, and anxiety, about 1 in 5. So there's several efforts happening on the national level that kind of set the stage for our work. The CDC and the Alzheimer's Association and others got together in 2005 to put out the Healthy Brain Roadmap. There was one from 2007 to 2012 that was kind of a visionary document, and then there's a more recent document that really looks at state and local public health efforts. And the cool thing about this roadmap was that this was really the first time they tried to put this work in a public health context. They also really did stress the importance of looking at measuring cognitive impairment and burden. The next piece is then the most recent Healthy People 2020. They did have 2 new developmental objectives related to dementia. One was about increasing awareness of dementia among people living with dementia, and then also decreasing preventable hospitalizations among this community, which we know many of which are related to co-occurring chronic conditions that people living with dementia are living with. They also had an objective around multiple chronic conditions, and that was to increase the self-management of them. In 2001, NIH funded a cognitive and emotional health project, which informed our work. I'll show you an analytic framework later. And they really looked at risk factors for cognitive and emotional health and also stressed the importance of, there's a lot of good data out there, maximize the importance of looking at it to try to answer some of these questions about the relationship between Alzheimer's disease, other dementias, and cognitive impairment in co-occurring chronic conditions. And then lastly, the DHHS strategic framework on multiple chronic conditions, which informs a lot of folks' work in this area, which really also emphasized looking at data sets, let's look at common patterns out there, and let's really define some appropriate health outcomes for thinking about this work. So I'm going to talk about briefly these projects. We were funded over a four-year period, and we did a systematic literature review and at the same time did a database inventory to try to identify what data is already out there that people can use. And then we did a gap analysis to identify kind of key gaps from the literature review that could be answered using existing data. We did several secondary data analysis to answer some of those questions, and then we spent some time thinking about what's next for public health research and what should folks be focusing on. So this is a framework I mentioned earlier from the NIH Cognitive and Emotional Health Project. So we were really in this project focusing on dementia severity cognitive impairment. A lot of data sets do include more mild cognitive impairment, and so you'll see it mentioned as a comparison group elsewhere. And we really think of having cognitive impairment impacting co-occurring chronic conditions in two ways. Either they're shared risk factors, such as high blood pressure, or it really impacts how you're managing co-occurring conditions. And then these are some of the outcomes we looked at related to chronic conditions. So first, the lit review. This was done really to document the impact of dementia or significant cognitive impairment on co-occurring chronic conditions. So we used methods that we developed in previous reviews based on the community guide. We used search terms and subject headings based on the key areas of interest in our framework. We looked at PubMed through summer of 2011, and we did a process where we basically looked at titles and abstracts and then moved to articles. We summarized all this information in data tables, and then we rated the strength and quality of the articles. We screened a lot of papers. For those of you experienced with systematic literature reviews, it's a labor of love. We looked at 4,000 articles, and there were 147 articles that were included in our project. So these were kind of pared down or described as 62 chronic condition and health outcome pairings. So what that means is we summarized data for all the papers that looked at, let's say, dementia or severe cognitive impairment and diabetes. And we found some things. We found that dementia or significant cognitive impairment does increase the risk of mortality. It does prolong institutional stays, things such as hospitals or nursing homes. It decreases function, which is kind of obvious that we've expected to find. And then really what was interesting is we found no relationship with medication use, both for cardiovascular disease or for hypertension. Unfortunately, though we found a lot of articles, they were kind of spread across disease categories, and really what we found was there's a lot of insufficient evidence out there. There's not enough studies, or there's inconclusive studies. There's kind of three studies that say different things. So at the same time we were doing the review, we also did this inventory to try to say, you know, what data has already been collected that we can potentially look at to answer some of these questions? We looked at data sets that had a sample size greater than 500, had high quality measures of cognitive function. It had to be a multidimensional measure, so it couldn't just be memory. It had to look at other executive function, cognitive processing, things like that. We looked at journal articles to find these databases, but we also looked at websites, reports, kind of wherever people sent us. We abstracted the data as well, and then we did a verification process where we contacted the data set owners to kind of ask them to confirm what we'd found. Here we found 108 data sets, a little more than half focused on dementia and cognitive measures, and the little less than half really just included cognitive measures. They didn't include any standard criteria for dementia. About half had a sample size more than 5,000, most were in the U.S. or Europe, and about 44% were verified, which means that somebody got back to us and said, what you found out about the data set is true. Which we thought was pretty good, but, you know, it's kind of amazing that half the people did not get back to us because it's their data. So then we said, okay, we did this review. We have all these databases. What should we focus on? We're going to do some secondary data analysis. We have a little funding to do. What should we focus on? And we had our expert panel come together and prioritize the data using a methodology called QSort. And these are the topics that they identified as the focus. Multiple chronic conditions, kind of broadly, not looking at specific discrete disease categories. And then you can see several conditions here. And then they also focus on service utilization and disease-specific outcomes as well. So disease-specific outcomes are things like, for people with cognitive impairment and stroke, are they more likely to have a recurrent stroke? So I'm going to just kind of whiz through a couple of our analyses, just to show you some findings, so that I can talk about stuff later. So for the depression piece that we wanted to look at, we used a data set, the NAC, which includes 34 Alzheimer's disease centers. It's a large data set, 28,000 folks. And we found some really interesting stuff. We found that for depression, either measured using the geriatric depression scale or a clinical diagnosis, that it is much higher in people with mild cognitive impairment or dementia compared to people without. The odds you can see there, 2.4 and 2.64. Also, developing depression over time, there's more of a risk. So you can see that 25% or 22% of people with dementia or mild cognitive impairment would develop depression over 2 years compared to just 10% normal cognition. We also looked at cardiovascular disease. That was a big deal. Dr. Fitzpatrick on our team has worked with the cardiovascular health study for many years, and so we use that as our data. And we also found here some increased risk both for myocardial infarction, heart failure, and stroke. We don't think there were changes in angina because of some things about reporting and chest pain, but we haven't really looked into that yet. And the last piece we looked at is health services utilization using electronic medical records from Emory Healthcare. This work was led by Zhou Yang at Emory University. And what was neat about this project is it was a fairly diverse group. About a quarter were African American, and they had a whole host of chronic conditions that they were living with. Here we found that there were increases in emergency department visits, hospitalizations, and clinic visits, as well as costs of utilization mainly related to Part A Medicare. So we've taken all this information and we kind of put out a public health research agenda. So we can't do all this work. We'd like you to come do some of this work and help us really move this field forward. And so our team kind of came up with priorities for what folks should be looking at with this existing data. A lot of it is around really identifying what is currently working and finding a better way to get that out to other people. Also thinking about how we could do a better job of incorporating dementia and multiple chronic conditions in state plans, public health plans, you name it. I heard a presentation yesterday on emergency preparedness where they're including some really neat stuff around cognitive impairment. So really kind of working across our silos. We were just funded at the University of Washington and with other universities at Arizona, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Oregon to establish the Healthy Brain Initiative Research Network to move some of this work forward. We're really excited about this. It's built upon the success of the Healthy Aging Research Network, which was funded for the last 15 years. And we're really going to try to take some of this work and move it forward and engage partners in that process. So thank you. Apologies for just blowing through that, but I'll be around for questions, and I'd love to talk about this stuff afterwards as well. Okay. Any explanations? Right. We think there's some physiological things related. I mean, I think particularly related to high blood pressure and hypertension, why we think that there's a association. I am not a cardiovascular disease expert, so I know that is one of the things that we talked about, why we think there's an increased risk. I would be happy to share with you, though. We're just writing up those findings now, and I think I'll have a little bit more information about some of those reasons. I'd be happy to send me your card afterwards, and I can share that with you. I would say none of it. Yeah. I mean, I would say some of those 4,000 articles that we didn't include did, for sure. But we were really looking at outcomes. We were looking at how does living with dementia or living with severe cognitive impairment impact managing these other chronic conditions in your life. And so we had a lot of stuff around, the brain that was excluded because of what we were looking at. We also required that each paper had both a population with and without cognitive impairment so we can do that comparison. There's a lot more work out there that just focuses on people living with dementia or just focuses on people living without. And so that was a criteria that really limited our numbers, I think. Sure, yeah.
With respect to the data that you found, how many of the studies do you think looked at the direct link between obesity and the brain disease to dementia?
I would say very few. I think that was something we did try to look at in addition to just specific chronic conditions. We tried to look at other kind of lifestyle factors or obesity, physical activity, things like that, and there were very few. But I'd be happy to kind of send you the summary data tables from that review, and then if you just look for obesity, you can find some of the work that's out there. Yeah.